We are Sarva. The future of education starts here.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Everyday Genius. I'm your host, Pete Craig, and today it's a great pleasure to welcome someone who I've known for a number of years now, and what can I say? He's an extraordinary, and I say this in the most honest way, he's an extraordinary kind of vocal coach. He was actually a vocal coach for Sam Smith, Jermaine Jackman, who was the Voice winner. He's worked with CEOs, with business leaders. He's worked with ITV, BBC, Sky, and even NASA. And even though he couldn't sing himself, he kind of taught himself how to sing, and his mission in life now is to help others understand how they can use their voices to communicate more clearly, whether that's as a singer or whether it's as an entrepreneur or a political leader. The importance of the voice is quite crucial, and I believe that's his genius. He's unlocked something, and he unlocks something in people that allows them to communicate so much more clearly and with so much more depth. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Voice.
Hi.
Hi. So I said Dr. Voice there. You're also Anthony Wade, but you've kind of been dubbed Dr. Voice by many of your students, I understand.
Yeah, I think the everybody says, well, you're not a real doctor, though, are you? Well, no, I'm not a medical doctor, but I can diagnose voices. Mm. So that's what's interesting. That's why I coined the phrase, or people used to call me that. You're just like a doctor, because when people come to me, it's almost like I do an X-ray on them as who they are in their sound. And from that X-ray, I'm able to see and tell what's happened to them in their life, where they're going in their life, and what their voice is helping present for them in their life. So in a way, Dr. Voice is like a coined phrase, but I remember being with one of my doctors, a doctor I went to sometime. I said this, and he was a real doctor. And I said, there's 64 muscles in the larynx. And he was an Indian doctor. He said, really? He didn't even know, you know. So in terms of the understanding of the function of the voice, I think probably I've garnered through having 40 years of hundreds of thousands of larynxes in front of me, you get to see and understand what a person's doing with their voice, probably more than what a doctor would.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, before we dive in, there's a couple of questions that I like to ask at the beginning of all of these interviews. And the first one is, what's alive in you right now?
What's alive in me? Probably something that I shared right now, something I shared at a talk in Mayfair not so long ago when I stood up. I said, I want to share with you the most extraordinary, beautiful love in my life. My truest love of all. The most beautiful love you could ever imagine. The most grandiose love that is so powerful, this love. It's so beautiful, this love. That is no other love like it. It is the greatest love of all. And that is the love of my next breath. Because without it, I can't love anybody.
Yeah.
So what's alive in me now is the sound in my body, the breath behind the sound in my body, enabling me to share or mirror to you, a fellow human being, some truth. Yeah. And that is what I surrender to. That's what I feel when I'm with my clients. It's what I feel when I'm with my singers or whoever they are that come to me. I go right to the center of my being in order to see the center of that person's being. And to get from that the experience of being in the moment. So what's alive in me, and the answer to that question, is my breath and my sound. Because you can't make sound in the past.
Yeah.
And you can't make sound tomorrow. You can only do it now.
All in the present. Yeah.
So it's in the moment. So what's alive in me is the moment.
Okay, perfect. Brilliant. That's an amazing answer. Next question. What's life inviting you to do more of?
Life is inviting more to do more of spreading the understanding that we are in a human body. We're stuck here. You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. You're in it. You can try and top yourself. You can do all sorts of funny things. You can violate yourself. It don't matter what you do with yourself. You're still in a human body. And the fact that you're in a human body, you've been placed in this human body by this phenomenon called life, or some people call it God, Tip, Fred, Harry, I don't care what you call it, but you've got life. And the fact that you breathe and you're in this human body is, I thought, what was your question?
What's life inviting you into?
Always itself.
Yeah.
Life itself is inviting me into itself, yeah, consistently. You know, and one of the beautiful things that I've realized about the importance of our next breath and the importance of our sound, particularly because I'm a voice coach, I'm very intrigued by sound. And so what I've realized that sound is this extraordinary energy. And I only found out recently, I don't know if this is asking your question or you want to answer me another one, because this goes on a bit.
No, go, carry on.
Okay. Well, I watched a program the other night called The Universe, and they were talking about the sun. Degrassi, the famous scientist, was talking about the sun. And he said, when the sun is on fire, you can see it's on fire, and it's spitting out 200 miles jets of fire, millions of them all over the sun every second, nonstop. And as it's pushing out this fire 200 miles away from the sun, it pushes the gases or whatever it is, the heat is pushing it out, is equivalent to 10,000 atomic bombs going off in each spit. Yeah. Now, when we were children, we'd draw the sun and we'd do a little jagged thing around it, make it look like a star, wouldn't we? And that's what that jagged bits are. They are equivalent to the bomb went off in Hiroshima 10,000 times. Just one spit, and there's millions of them every second on the sun. Then you go inside the sun, and he found inside the sun, it's helium and carbon monoxide and all these gases, but it's this photon which hits somehow, by some magical way, hits the helium and explodes it. And that what ignites the million degrees heat in the sun. But the photons are driven by what? Sound waves. The sound. The vibration of sound is the center of the sun. And no wonder when I had a pupil here the other day, she said to me, oh, my next door neighbor came in to complain about me singing. I thought she was, but she came in and said, oh, should you sing in? And she said, and you brought some sunshine to my life. I thought, oh, here we are then.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I mean, and this is something that's been at the, or is at the heart of your kind of method of teaching, isn't it? Is this understanding, helping people understand where the connection between like the voice and the connection between the breath and the connection to then human spirit.
Yes, absolutely. Because here's the thing, you've got 64 muscles in your larynx. Why? To use them. If you don't use them, you atrophy.
Yeah.
If you atrophy your musculature anywhere in your body, you become disabled.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there speaking disabledly. They're disabled in the way they speak. They're not truly using the full resonant power of their sound. And when you do use the true resonance power of your sound by awakening musculature, yeah, by awakening musculature, there's a feeling of more presence, more aliveness, and more joy. Because what's joy? Freedom. So when you are with your sound and your breath and your voice, you're not in your mind freaking out. You're not in your mind thinking, oh, what should I say? Should I say this? Should I say that? I'm not sitting here wondering what the hell you're going to ask me, or, oh, should I say this? Should I say? No, I'm with my sound, and I can feel it, and I'll let that talk with trust from who I really am inside. So your voice is the front door of your communication systems. Yeah. But yet we spend more time doing our hair, making our beard look good in order for us to stand in front of an audience and speak, and don't work on our voice.
Yeah.
And it's the voice which is going to actually make the people hear something or feel something from you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And how does that, so, you know, there's, I know myself, and I know a lot of people when they, or this idea of like, you know, communication, this idea of connection, when you call it drop out of the head and into the heart, yeah, people feel that, you know, there's studies that show that actually, you know, the heart, the body has a resonance, has a frequency, and other people feel that. So when it makes sense, when you drop out of the head and stop thinking intellectually and communicate from the heart, that people will feel that. How's that connected then, the heart? How is that connected to the voice and to how we communicate and how we portray ourselves?
It's impossible for you to be with your heart without your breath.
Yeah.
Your breathing mechanism is the key to your existence. Let's just look at this.
Yeah.
Let's look at this in a different way. See, when you, I would like people now watching this, if you do this, please bear with me. Everybody at home now watching this, put your tongue on the roof of the mouth. All right. And then I want you to slightly open the mouth.
Yeah.
And I want you to imagine you've got a plunger, like from the sink, and you're going to pull it out of your belly, tongue on the roof of the mouth, and you go, and let the air escape through the nostrils. So it goes in the nostrils and fills the belly up. Just do that for a few times now. Just do that with me. So blow the air out of your body. Nostrils, only through the nostrils. Tongue on the roof of the mouth. Slightly open the mouth. You'll feel the ease of air going into your stomach as you pull the plunger out. Now, here's what's interesting. As you're doing that, pulling the air in through the nostrils into the belly, keep doing it. As you're listening to this talk today, keep doing it, and I will promise you, by the end of this talk, you will be in a totally different space. You will have transported yourself to your deeper inner self, right, as you do this. So blow the air out, pull the air in, filling those lungs up, right? Tongue on the roof of the mouth. Now, if you shut your mouth and breathe in through your nose, it's difficult. But if you breathe in through your nose with the tongue on the roof of the mouth, with the mouth open, it's like a backdraft. You've got the back door open and the window open at the same time. And the ease of air goes in even deeper into the bowel part of your lungs. Why is that important? Because you're getting more oxygen into your system. And oxygen is the lifeblood friend of the breath. Now, let me get a bit religious on you here, because it is interesting. This is very interesting. I found out, if you've read the Bible, you've read the Genesis or wherever it is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And then Jesus came and spread the Word of God. Now, most Christians believe the Word of God is the Bible. So he spreads the Word or the knowledge or the stories of the Bible, right? A friend of mine who's a linguist specialist from Oxford, and they actually went back and found the name word 3,000 years ago. The name word from the Hebrew or Greek, whatever it was, the name word means breath.
Wow. Yeah.
In the beginning was the breath, and the breath was God, the breath was with God, and the breath is God, and Jesus went out to spread the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, then I went further into this and thought, whoa. So I checked the Bible out a bit more to see if there's any other references. And there's Job, who was there before, chapter 27, 13, whatever it was, there before Jesus, in Moses' day, who was obviously in a body, like you're in a body now. Jesus hadn't come yet, but there he is in a body, right, breathing in and out. And he said this. This has blew me away when I read this. Because he said, as long as there is breath in my body, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, I am enlivened.
Mm.
Now that's nearly 2,500 years old.
Yeah.
What are we doing, folks?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
So when we say, hang on, wait a minute, but it's boring to be with your breath. Oh, is it? You have 750 breaths in an hour. Have you been with every one of them in an hour? 750? You won't say it's boring then, because you will be floating. You will be floating and flying within yourself in a feeling of utter happiness and freedom just from breathing.
Yeah.
Hello? So this is the joy, and I understand this because I did, and I think I've shared this with you before. I spent 10 years in an ashram meditating 8 hours a day on my breath. So I managed to garner and understand the principles of what that was doing to my system, to my body, to who I am, that I've always been at the mercy of my next breath. I've always been grateful that I've got another breath that's coming into me, because who knows when it will stop.
Exactly. So yeah.
My job is to praise that breath, to love that breath. And consequently, because I'm a voice coach, I realize it's the breath that makes the voice work. Ah!
Yeah.
So they join nicely.
Perfect. It wasn't always like that, though, was it? Because you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, like when you didn't start off as a singer, you didn't start off as a vocal coach. You know, you're self-taught. So what was the, you know, take us back to that point. You know, what was the trigger? What was it that kind of got you started on this path?
Yes. Well, this is why all you viewers, I don't care who you are, where you are, what you think about you, your voice, your sound, your breath, I will say this to you, and I will challenge anybody this fact, that when you focus on something, you can have it. You know, and what I did, I remember getting on the boat, coming to Australia when I was 17 years old, and I fell in love with the princess on the boat. We had a relationship. And I wanted to show off. So what I, because I was 18 years old now, and I wanted to show off. So the purser come up and said, can you sing? Can you go up on the stage and sing tonight? I said, yes, of course. Of course, my family were all musical. My brother was a singer in Jesus Christ Superstar. Everybody was in the music business in my family. So I thought I could sing, you know. So in the cabin, I was started to sing. And as I started to sing, nine, nine, out come this horse, like Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I can't sing. I didn't even know I couldn't sing. I was going, nine, nine. Oh, my God. So the next minute, I went to the guy, the person. I said, I can't get on stage. I can't do it. And he said, you've got to now. Just go for it. Everybody just goes for it. So I got up on stage. I thought, at least my princess is there. She's sitting there.
Yeah.
Her dad owned the shipping line we were on.
Yeah.
He didn't like me because I had long hair, and he never wanted to see me with her. So he never saw us together. So he's sitting there next to her, and there I am. The band started. And I came singing. And she put her head down like this. He was laughing and jogged her as if to say, told you. That devastated me. Devastated me. I decided I never want to sing again. And it wasn't until I went to Australia, and I was in Australia for about 2 years, and then I get an email from Maurice Gibb of the Bee Gees saying, we're in Perth. Your brother told us we're there because he's a friend, my brother's. Come, we're going to have a limo come and pick you up. So the next minute I have this limousine pick me up. I'm with Maurice Gibb of the Bee Gees, and we're in a room. And he starts telling me his pain. I was about 20, 21. And he was telling me his story about Lulu, how they split up and how unhappy he was in his life. And 18 hours, he poured his heart out to me. This is when I realized that I actually become a therapist in the end, because I realized I qualified that just being with him for 18 hours. I just sat and listened to him.
Yeah.
And he was so touched and moved by this. He got up and he said, can I hug you? You've just changed my life. I said, really? And he said, yes. He said, no one's ever listened to me this long or allowed me to say what I needed to say. And you can see this guy never had therapy and he needed it. So, of course, I said, yeah, sure. So he said, what can I do for you? I'll do anything for you. I said, no, nothing. He said, no, I know what. I said, okay. So next minute, they're going on stage in front of 33,000 people at the Subiaco Oval, the Bee Gees, right? 33,000 people waiting for them. I come out on the stage, he brings them out on the stage and says, sing with us. I thought, no way, there's no way I'm going to do this. Yeah. So I'm standing in front of a microphone. So luckily, I turned it off. On the way off the stage, I get thousands of people. They all thought I was one of the Bee Gees, as I had long hair as well. Yeah. And all these people come up signing an autograph. I was signing people's bums. I was doing all sorts. Got in this limousine, was taken back to the hotel. And then Mungo Jerry came in the summertime. And he came up to me, he said, I saw you're in the Bee Gees, isn't it? I said, no, I'm not. I'm just a friend. He said, oh, mate, you were great. I heard you up there. I said, no, you didn't hear me. You know, and he says, you should do what I do. I've got a hit record. I said, I can't do this. I can't sing. I'm not a singer. And he says, yes, you can. You'll be able to do it. I said, no. Anyway, I listened to him. I actually listened to him. And the next day I was back bending metal in the factory, which was the job I had at the time. Mm. And a guy come up to me, he said, yeah, mate, did you see the Bee Gees on telly last night? I said, what can I tell this guy? He said, look, I've got a photograph of them. And he had a photograph of them getting in the limousine. And he said, that's Barry. It wasn't Barry Gibb, it was me, the back of my hair.
Yeah. Wow.
What could I tell this guy? So I went off, then realised every singing teacher, vocal coach on the planet and singer were prodigies. They could all sing from the age of 5, 9, 10, 11 onwards. They had great voices. So they became singing teachers or vocal coaches. So they were bobbing up and down the ocean of the voice. I knew I couldn't do that. So I went to the bottom of the ocean of the voice. And I went so deep, I found some pearls. And I built this ladder. And each rung of this ladder, the Dunning technique, the central sound beam, this, that, were techniques that I discovered that I could see, oh, look, Adele doesn't have this part of the ladder. She's going to lose her voice in no time. And she did.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Sam Smith, he needs to, next minute, I'm sharing with Sam Smith and saving his voice and work with him for 4 years. So my knowledge and understanding of the voice got so deep and profound in understanding. I started to get deaf people to sing. I started to get people with cerebral palsy to sing. I started to really find ways that can really make a transformation to most people in the understanding. People that have lost their voices, haven't spoken for 9 years, I'm getting their voices back. And it's like, what? In a matter of an hour, when the speech therapists and doctors, you know, the throat guys, can't do it. So, and that's based on the years I think I spent in that ocean of the voice. Then there I was at the Albert Hall, the Palazzo della Sport with Michael Bolton, standing up thinking, where's those 10 singing teachers who begged me not to sing? Who said I could never sing in Australia because I had 10 singing teachers said, give it up, buddy, you're not going to get anywhere. And that was it, really. From then on, I realized I could teach this stuff and I could show people that didn't even dream they could phonate or make sound and get them doing something beyond their wildest imagination. Mm. And that's why I call myself Dr. Voice, and that's why I create divas.
Mm.
I don't just create someone that can sing, I create a diva.
Yeah, but this isn't just about singing either, is it? This is about, you know, communication in general.
When you go on stage to speak, and you open your mouth to talk, if you are not in the moment with your sound, if you're with your idea or information that you try to remember to give, you're not going to hit half that audience. But when you're with your sound and your breath and you've lodged all that knowledge in you, it comes out in an utter flow of perfection and everyone gets it. Mm. Everyone gets it. I believe this is called a transformational speaker.
Yeah.
You know, and why? Because you're going right to the root of the being in you, which is your breathing mechanism. Guess what everyone in that room is doing? They're all breathing. Yeah. So when you come from your breath, when you speak, you get everyone, you collect everyone in that room. They feel it from you. They don't just, oh, here, yeah, that's a good idea. No, they feel it from you. And this is very powerful. So, yeah, everybody is in a different place. I mean, it's like, how powerful is your voice and how powerful are you as a persona is an interesting question you need to ask yourself, but most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't. Even people like Richard Branson doesn't, you know, he don't care how he sounds.
Yeah. That leads me on to the next question. That is, yeah, how... So a project that I'm working on at the moment is around, you know, kind of giving the next generation, giving our young people the tools that they need in order to, you know, survive and thrive in this kind of modern world, because our education system doesn't prepare them fully, doesn't create rounded human beings to go out into the world. So how important do you think actually kind of like teaching some of this, teaching, you know, the work that you do to younger generations and having them make that connection with the breath so much earlier, make that connection with their voices so much earlier? How important do you think that is?
Well, you know what the answer is going to be. Why do you ask a question you know?
But I'd love to get your view on it.
Here's the interesting thing. I gave a talk to a room full of occupational therapists, 99 women. 90 odd women in this room. And of course, I'm up there giving a talk about the voice. And they deal with children, 5, 6, 7 year old children. And I said this to them: if you do not get your children to stand up in a class and read out loud from a feeling of their breath and the feeling of who they are, right? If you don't do that, you have just prevented that person from becoming a very powerful leader in their own right of who they are. Yeah. You've just prevented that. Now, how many of you, hands up, that get your children to do that? No one put their hand up. So how many children are devoid or not able to stand up and speak from a feeling from within? Because when a child does that, the cerebral cortex at the back of the brain, it connects with the larynx as that child is in a moment of looking around him, feeling he's talking out loud to all his friends and all the kids in the school in utter fear. The cerebral cortex at that point, as he makes his sound, he sees it overtakes the fear. And that gets locked into his cerebral cortex for the rest of his life. And you will find that person will be very strong, not shy, very focused, very alive when they speak.
Yeah.
We've proved that's what happens to children that do that at a very young age. Now, of course, those that don't, and there's quite a lot of them, and a lot of them are my clients today.
Mm. Yeah.
And they mumble.
It is amazing, and you know, it's, I don't need to tell you, but we did some work together, and
did we?
it amazed me how little focus and attention we actually give to the voice. How little we know how we sound. How little time we spend understanding, you know, what our own sound is, and playing around with how we can change that sound.
Yes. Yeah. See, now just do that now for me.
Yeah.
Just say all what you just said. Take a breath in and go, it's incredible how we don't just feel that. Go. Yeah.
It's incredible how we don't get in connection with our own voices, and we don't understand the way that we can play and change that voice in order to create different engagement.
You see that? Yeah. Now, anybody watching that would say, oh, that was a little bit more present.
Yeah.
That was a bit more warmer and rounder.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting down one day at a dinner. I was with Ruby Wax at a dinner one day, and this guy come up and he was sitting next to me, and he said to me, what do you do? I said, I'm a voice coach. He said, really? I said, what do you do? I said, well, I get people to speak consciously. To speak consciously. What does that mean? It means to be in the moment with your sound.
Yeah.
100%. And he said, oh, okay. I said, take Richard Branson, for instance. He doesn't speak consciously. He just mumbles. and he always has done. I said, if he spoke consciously, he'd affect the world 300% more than he already has. Imagine that. And he doesn't, because he's shy. And he said, shall I ring him? And he picks the phone up, and he's got Richard Branson on his phone.
Yeah.
I said, okay. And then his girlfriend goes, no, you won't. She said, he's got his number because I'm Richard's PA.
Yeah, right.
And she says, and you're dead right, Dr. Boyce. She says, Richard does mumble. And sometimes in meetings, when we're with him, you can't hardly hear what he said. And we have another meeting to try and work out what it is he said. So, and when he's on stage as well, a lot of people walked out on his talks because they can't hear him.
Yeah.
So imagine if he did voice work. And she said, he could do with your voice work. And then she said this. You try and tell him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like Kylie Minogue. I could make her voice sound like Barbara Streisand. Mm. Kylie Minogue has got a Tim Pim whistle voice. Me, 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 me. Right? Yeah. But I could make her sound like Barbara Streisand. I can get her doing all sorts of amazing things. But why should she? She's got 70 million now as Kylie Minogue. She don't want to change that.
Yeah.
So it depends on you. How much effect do you want to have on who's in front of you?
Mm.
That's the question.
Yeah. I think that's a really powerful question for anyone that's listening, you know, is to ask yourself that, you know, what's the impact that you want to have? Yeah. And especially if you are a young person, you know, think about, you know, what is it that you want to do? What are the dreams that you've got? And how impactful is that going to be in the way you communicate right now?
Yeah. Just one little thing you can do with everybody at home again, just to try this. You take a deep breath in, and I want you to say a word which describes you perfectly, and the word is me. And what you're going to do, you take a breath in, and you go, me. Right, everybody do this at home. Breathe in through your nasal, tongue on the roof of the mouth, fill your body up, and you come out with the word, me. Now really feel that come over the vocal cords. Don't just say it, me. Don't say it like you normally say it. Say it with a feeling, me. And feel the feeling of your breath and sound. Here we go, take a breath in and the word me. Me. Let's do it a few more times. So I want you to tune into that sound of me as you do it. Here we go, breathe. Me. Can you feel that? Now, if you're feeling that sound in your body right now, and it's a fuzzy feel good, you're connecting with who you really are.
Yeah.
That's the divine in you. The me in you doesn't judge, doesn't live in the past, doesn't criticize, doesn't get upset, doesn't get emotional. That me in you, that sound you just made, is in the moment with you.
Yeah.
Is the divine and is free. It's only this in your brain which gets judgmental, goes to the past, lives in the past, doesn't feel good, you know, lives in the subconscious most of the time. What you're going to learn by doing voice work is come away from your subconscious mind, because you have to be in your conscious mind to do it, to consciously speak. Therefore, your subconscious doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
And most people in their lives, their subconscious is putting them in court all the time. The subconscious has got enough evidence to put you away. Yeah. The subconscious comes in and says, you're no good at this. Oh, you're not like that. Or you're not, like that, you know, and the judge is sitting there and you're sitting in the court. You say, what am I doing here? I've done nothing wrong. And the subconscious is trying to beat the shit out of you, and excuse my French, but try to make it hard for you. And this is your subconscious. It does to you every day. It's commenting on every moment you live. So what you need to do is get rid of that subconscious, and you say to the judge, I disagree. If you've got something to say, you speak with consciousness. No, this is not true. And the judge will say, okay, court dismissed.
How is this linked to creativity? Is there a link between, you know, kind of the breath, the voice and creativity?
Absolutely. Look, what is creativity? The opposite to creativity. There's only two modes you can be in life, any given moment. Mm. One is reaction mode. The other is creativity mode.
Yeah.
That's it. So you're either in reaction mode. Oh, no, you just said this. No, you just said that. And you're living in reaction mode, or you're reacting quickly on something. You're reacting, reacting. Right. Responsibility is different than reacting.
Yeah.
Reacting is where you're just on the spur of the moment, coming from your subconscious and just trying to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Or reacting. When you go to creativity mode, it's like, give an example, you have an argument with your wife or your significant other. You did this today. No, I didn't. Yes, you did, because you didn't. Did I? No, I didn't mean to. And there's this argument in you. Instead, that's reaction mode. But if she said, you did this today, then you stop and go into creative mode. Excuse me, darling, I hope don't mind me asking you, but when you asked me that, how did that make you feel? What's going on in you to expose that to me? What would you like to see from me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's creative. Now she's going, oh, nothing. I just wanted to, you know, you've just dissolved the whole situation because you're in creative mode. You can't do that if you're not in the moment.
Yeah.
So being in the moment makes you in creative mode.
Mm. Perfect. Yeah. I saw a study recently, or there was a study done, and you may well have seen it, by Dr. George Land. And Beth Jarman. So they did a study. It was quite a few years ago now, and it was for NASA. So they designed a test to identify levels of creativity within prospective kind of engineers that were going to go and work for NASA. But after they'd done the test, they realized that actually this could be used for children, and so they started testing. Children and started testing kind of like the level of genius or creative genius within children. At 5 years old, yeah, it's 98%. By the time they're 12, by the time they're 15 years old, it's 12%. And by the time we're 31, it's 2%. So the level of creativity that we have and our connection with creativity over time decreases. So as we become more educated and as we become more subjected to subjected to information, yeah, and our beliefs and our programming changes, yeah, mm-hmm. So our creativity declines. Yeah, so I think there's a nice connection there again about actually if we can bring people back to their essence, bring them back to their breath, yeah, then we can again increase again their levels of creativity.
Peter, it's amazing what you're saying, because here's what's interesting. When I'm in meetings and when I sit there, I truly do, before I go to a talk, a seminar, or at meetings, or on a podcast like this, I do a lot of meditation of being in the moment. I stay with my breath throughout. Right now, you're speaking to me. I feel like a baby. Mm. I don't have anything going on in my head whatsoever. All I can see is the world behind you, the handsome man with glasses in front of me, and we're reacting in conversation based on what would naturally just come out of me and what would naturally come out of you. This is ideally creative, because there's no thought, fear, or anything else going on in my body right now. And because of that, and you're learning to confront your fears like I do. When we do these things, we're learning to let go of all this so that we can be the baby. We can be the person that's simple and feel good. And that's why when you feel your breath, if you're doing that at home, please, tongue on the roof of the mouth, what you're doing at home. Tongue on the roof of your mouth, breathing through your nasal, please. What are you doing? Don't you stop. If you're feeling your breath enter and leave in your body, you're going to be more like a baby at the end of this session than you realize. Yeah. And there is your creativity waiting for you from there.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's so important. And people have been, this isn't new. This has been talked about for centuries.
Yes.
People have meditated, people have kind of written about that for years and years and years, yet there's only been a very small minority of the world's population that actually have chosen to listen to it.
And yes.
Yeah, thankfully that number's increasing, but I still think actually this needs to become a fundamental part of the education system.
You will forget as soon as this podcast ends, and all your clients at home will forget about your breath today. we need reminding.
Yeah.
So we will always need this information. And here's what's interesting. I love what Marcus Aurelius said. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic philosopher, said, if you live each day, please, from your heart, from who you are inside, as if it's your last day on earth. Mm. Trust me, he doesn't say this, but I say this, you will value every breath that you take, and you will want to watch it and feel it and know that that is what's keeping you alive. In fact, your breathing mechanism is your only connection to the infinite source that's inside your body, that's inside that sun. It's your infinite connection, and it's in the breathing mechanism.
Yeah,
it's never been anywhere else.
Yeah, it's interesting that there are so many connections. Yeah, if we think about trees and plants, yeah, they still consume oxygen. They breathe, you know, in very much the same way that that we do. So it is the root of existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and without it, we're dead.
Yeah.
So here it is. God says, you took a breath and you're alive. You'll expel a breath one day and you'll be dead. Well, I'm something to do with that, dummy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Realize that. Please wake up.
Yeah. For sure. Before we wrap up, are there any like words of wisdom that you'd like to just share apart from breathe and be in the moment, because we've talked a lot about that already.
Yeah. That we understand that it's natural to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That it's natural to accept yourself, and that the fact that you're here, you are a success. Not that you do this or you make this money or you create this or you create that. That's what makes you successful. Please, please don't think it's the things that you do that make you a success. It's the fact you're alive that makes you a success. And that's the greatest success on earth you have. You're here and we're having a party. And it's like, do we want to have a party? Do we want to enjoy and dance in this lifetime together and share the truth of each other's existence, which is what we're doing now? So for me, it's to say, please just partake in the partying and enjoying the existence of your own life with everyone else. And just know that, look, I'm alive. How are you? Not too bad. You know, just be in that alive feeling in yourself. Learn to have what I call a tennis ball moment. The tennis ball moment is where you see a dog, you throw the ball, and it runs after the ball. Nothing else exists but that ball. And it rolls over. It has to have that ball, right? If you make you and the things you love to do tennis ball moments,
yeah,
fun, more fun.
Yeah.
I think that's the message. Please have more fun. Have more tennis ball moments where you're having fun and you're focused on the fun. Yeah. And that is so powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. And that kind of reminds me of an episode I recorded a few weeks ago with a guy called Dr. Mike Rucker. And Mike is has for the last 10 years been studying the science of fun, and he's got a book coming out next year called The Fun Habit, and this came out of his search for or looking at the differences between happiness and fun. Yeah, happiness, you can be happy or sad. You can't be both, but you can be sad and have moments of fun. Yeah, and yeah. one of his philosophies is that actually, you know, everyone talks about how important sleep is. But he believes that fun is just as important, and we should actually make time every day to have, you know, moments of just pure fun where there's no rules attached, no expectations attached. It's just fun. It's just pure joy. And he said that's so crucial, especially in today's society.
Well, one of the most fun things you can do, which I do now, I get up in the morning. If you don't have affirmations, if you don't have incantations or thoughts that are going to steer you that day, of say, because even I sit and meditate to be with my breath, I have to say, I, Anthony, now want to be with my breath. I, Anthony, now am going to create my life today to be the most extraordinary day. And I do say this to myself, but now I sing them. I, Anthony, today want my day to be amazing. I want to have fun. I want to sing it out. Yeah. When you start singing out things, when you're in the kitchen, I love my life. I'm good enough. And even if you sound terrible, I'm going like Chewbacca. It don't matter. Good enough. Do it. At least you'll have a laugh listening to you.
Absolutely.
Have fun, because when you phonate and make sound, it does raise the energy level in you. Try it, because it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Doc. It's always a pleasure to like chat with you. I know we could talk for a lot longer, but I want to keep condensed and on point. I think there's some massively valuable takeaways for everyone that's listening there. And if you do want to like reach out and find out a little bit more about Doc Voice, we'll put some links underneath this episode. And please do reach out. He is a vocal genius.
Thank you, my friend Peter. Have a great day, and everyone, please enjoy the rest of your day and evening, whatever that means. Be with yourself.
Thank you, guys.
We are Sarva, the future of education. Starts here.